You guys are so good. Love. Oh, what a great atmosphere you're creating for me to preach tonight. Who knows, we're talking about atmospheres at the moment, the atmospheres we can create, and you guys just created a great one for me to start the night off tonight. Well, Caroline Leaf is coming up for all our women, which is super exciting, and we've already got over 500 registered already. So it's going to be absolutely amazing. So make sure you register for it. Bring your friends. We've had churches ask if they can bring all their women along, and it's going to be really, really cool. So what a great impact we're having in the community, Shire Life Women. Amen? So good. So, Con, I think the question everyone wants to know, though, is Annabelle going to be at your course? Because that could influence a lot of people, I think, to come your way. Is she going to be there? She is. Awesome. There we go. Fantastic. Well, we're talking about atmospheres at the moment, and as I was sitting down there, I actually remembered a story that I didn't even plan on telling you guys tonight. And it's a story about something that happened to me probably about 4 years ago. And I was traveling with the kids from Adelaide back to Perth to visit our family. And anyway, we boarded the flight and it's all smooth, calm, everything's fine. We hop on, we start flying to Perth. And I'm on the flight and I've got the two kids with me. So, you know, as a mum, I'm all super organised. I've got all their bits and pieces and games and toys and, you know, food and all the stuff that you need to keep them happy during the flight. Anyway, I've worked in the airline industry before, so I've got a little bit of experience with aircraft. So we're about an hour, hour and a half into this flight, and I feel the aircraft change direction. So I can feel it starting to, you know, slowly but surely turn around and head back in the opposite direction. So I'm starting to think something odd is going on here. I'm not 100% sure what is going on, but something odd is going on. Everyone was calm. The flight attendants are doing their thing and, you know, it's all going well. And then we receive a message from the captain. The captain says, actually, I have to say before this, we started to smell something strange. And maybe a little bit of smoke started to fill the cabin. And the captain comes on and he says, ladies and gentlemen, I need to let you know we've had an electrical fault, which has caused a fire in the galley. We need to return and go back to Adelaide. But can I tell you something? That captain had full control of the atmosphere in that aircraft. It was calm. No one got up screaming. No one got up running around. No one was concerned because the captain was the person who was actually creating the atmosphere in that aircraft. And you know, church, I believe that we can create atmospheres wherever we go. Have you ever walked into a room or a situation feeling one way and then left feeling the exact opposite? For example, you've had a great morning. You've gotten up. You've had a great hot shower. You've put on your best outfit. Your hair, it's a perfect, great, good hair day. Things are awesome. And you wander into the office at work and everyone is down. Everyone is depressed. Everyone has a sad, sob story to tell. And by the end of the day, you leave work feeling exactly the same as them. Or have you ever had the opposite happen, where you're feeling sad? You go into a room, though, that is filled with joy-filled, faith-filled people who encourage you, give you a great word and great encouragement, and you leave that place feeling exactly the opposite. You feel awesome when you leave. Has anyone ever had that happen? Well, I can remember a time when that happened to me. And I can remember that It was a time when I was early in my pregnancy with Tori, and I was having some complications in the pregnancy. And prior to this pregnancy, I'd actually had a miscarriage. So when complications came up, I was obviously a little bit unnerved about the whole thing. And I was worried and I was feeling anxious about what was going on. And I came home from work and I had to go to a leaders meeting for the youth ministry. It was all the girls were getting together. And it was actually at Pastor Matt and Franka's house. So you were probably there, Ali, sleeping in your bassinet or something. Anyway, so the last thing I felt like doing, sorry, Ali, don't tell mum, but the last thing I felt like doing was going over to their place after work, feeling the way that I was feeling. And I walked into that house and I felt overwhelmed. I felt anxious. I felt exhausted. And I can tell you, I was very teary. I was already crying before I even arrived. And as the night went on, the women in this group encouraged me. They prayed with me. They shared their own stories of God's amazing grace and faith with me. One of them gave me a prophetic word over Tori's life. And I left that night feeling at peace, encouraged, and loved. I'd entered the meeting that night feeling one way, but left totally another because of the atmosphere that these women brought into the room. Now this, it's not just an observation that I've made, and it's not just speculation that this is actually the case. There is actually a scientific name for this. It is called emotional contagion. Britt Gabriel, is that true? Emotional contagion? We'll test you. She says yes. She's studying psychology. It's all good. But psychologists define it as the phenomenon of having one person's emotions and related behaviours directly trigger similar emotions and behaviours in other people. The phrase emotional contagion embodies the idea that humans will synchronise their personal emotions with the emotions expressed by those around them, whether consciously or unconsciously, and that an emotion conveyed by one person will become contagious to another. Psychology Today magazine explains that as humans, we're innately vulnerable to catching other people's emotions. You are contagious. They go on to explain, when you hang out with happy people, you tend to feel happier, have more energy, and feel less stressed. Catching the happy bug and being infected by another person's happiness or enthusiasm can be a very good thing. But of course, who knows, the opposite also holds true. Emotional contagion can occur in the negative direction, adding significant stress and strain in life. And they say that this is particularly true when negative emotional contagion creeps into your close relationships. Because marriages, partnerships, family connections, and close friendships are based on emotions. And so any sadness, any fear, any worry on the part of that other person in your life, whether it be a parent, husband, wife, best friend, business partner, can have a profound and lasting impact on your overall mood and outlook on life. So, the solution sounds simple, right? We find happy people to be around. But it's not that easy. Actually, it's so funny because the experts say that negative emotions are actually more contagious than the positive ones. How funny is that? Secondly, in the real world, we're actually consistently in different environments and atmospheres that we have no control over. Atmospheres that lack faith or are negative. And tonight I want to share a story with you about a woman in the Bible who found or decided, she found the guts actually, but she decided to change the atmosphere of the room she found herself in. So we're going to read from the Bible tonight. If you've got your word with you or your phone app or whatever, open up to Luke chapter 7. And someone's phone is ringing. That's awesome. All right, Luke 7, if you're with me. And we're reading from verse 36. Do you guys mind if I walk the stage? I like walking. I got some heels on tonight. That's all good. Luke 7, what's that? Oh. Luke 7, 36. And it says, then one of the Pharisees asked him, talking about Jesus, to eat with him. He went to the Pharisee's house and sat down to eat. And behold, a woman in the city who was a sinner, everyone say, ooh, ooh. When she knew that Jesus sat at the table in the Pharisee's house, brought an alabaster flask of fragrant oil, stood at his feet behind him weeping, and she began to wash his feet with her tears. She wiped them with the hair of her head, and she kissed his feet and anointed them with the fragrant oil. Now, when the Pharisee who had invited him saw this, he spoke to himself and said, this man, if he were a prophet, would know who and what manner of woman that is touching him, for she is a sinner. Goes on at verse 44. Then he turned to the woman, this is Jesus, and he said to Simon, do you see this woman? I entered your house, thinking about atmospheres here. Jesus says, I entered your house, Simon. Did you see this woman? You gave me no water for my feet, but she's washed my feet with tears and wiped them with the hair of her head. You gave me no kiss, but this woman has not ceased to kiss my feet since the time I came in. You did not anoint my head with oil, but this woman has anointed my feet with fragrant oil. So tonight we're just going to review this story. This woman, we know she's a sinner. She hears that Jesus is in town and that she's going to be at Simon's house. He's an important man in town. She decided she's going to go to Simon's place. Now, you've got to think, she's got no invitation to be there. She's not an important person in town. She has no title and no special position. When she opens the door to this house, she receives a hostile atmosphere. She walks into an atmosphere that is not receptive of her. You can imagine it. They start talking about her. There's that sinner woman. What's the sinner woman doing in Simon's house? Did you invite her? Who let her in? What on earth is she doing here? They start murmuring and thinking, she's a sinner woman. She knew it, but she refused to acknowledge it. She felt the vibe of the room. She heard the whispers. She knew they were talking about her, and yet she keeps coming. She did not allow them to deter her. She doesn't allow them to bring her down. She was a woman on a mission. She was a woman with a purpose. And even though she wasn't treated well, even though she wasn't accepted into the house in the way she should have been, you know what she did? She just kept coming. She didn't stop. They were murmuring about her and she didn't argue. She didn't even defend herself. How often do we walk into environments and atmospheres where we want to defend ourselves? She didn't retaliate. She didn't respond. And you know, maybe this has happened to you at work. You go into the place and someone's trying to bring you down. Someone's trying to kill your joy. They're murmuring, they're whispering, there's accusations and they're belittling you. But it's time to become like this woman. She chose to ignore the atmosphere and not let it affect her. She chose not to become infected by their negativity. She came through it without being influenced by it. And that's a word tonight for you guys. You can be in an atmosphere that you can come into, you can walk through it, but you don't need to be impacted or influenced by it. So just imagine this story for a minute with me. Jesus is sitting in this room at Simon's place, probably surrounded by the disciples. They're there eating. They're sitting around relaxing, eating dinner. So they're all relaxed in this atmosphere. But for this woman, the mood is not at all comfortable. She's in a hostile environment where she's not accepted and where she's incredibly controversial. But she ignores the rejection. She walks over to Jesus and she lays at his feet in the midst of their criticism. Failing to be distracted by the controversial and critical atmosphere, she takes the alabaster box. These boxes are precious. They're made from a stone found near Alabastron in Egypt. The stone it's made from resembles marble, but is softer in texture. They're delicate, beautiful, and costly. Inside, it was filled with expensive, fragranced oil. These vessels were only used to hold the finest of perfumes because the aroma was unable to escape the alabaster. The emotion, it's on edge. But she was about to do something that would change the atmosphere. She reached for her alabaster jar. According to tradition, it would have been tied around her neck. And what she does next is incredible. She doesn't just open the alabaster jar a little bit and put a little bit of this really expensive stuff onto Jesus' feet and tie it back up and give him a little bit of a massage with it. Probably the wrong word, but anyway. She doesn't just, use a little bit of it. The Bible says that she actually broke it open at the feet of Jesus. She broke it open at the feet of Jesus. And as she broke it, the smell, imagine, the aroma, the perfume, it filled the room and it changed the atmosphere. Through her act of worship, she changed the atmosphere. She didn't care what people thought about her. She wasn't going to give in to the horrible atmosphere and environment that she was a part of. She decided, I am going to do what I am called to do. You know, I can remember a time when I worked in a law firm I was still at uni, straight out of school. And, it was filled with intellectual people. And, I was still young. I would have been 17, 18. And the atmosphere was sometimes hostile, particularly towards my Christianity and my beliefs. And I stood my ground and I had an amazing female partner in the law firm who was also a Christian, and together we stuck together and we changed the atmosphere and changed the environment of that place. And you know, sometimes you don't even know what happens and what God's doing in people's hearts till years later. And 10 years later, I had one of them call me, and she was in need. She needed someone to go and to sit with her sister and pray with her sister. She called me 10 years later from this law firm. She would have been 30 years my senior at the time. She asked me to go because I think I changed the atmosphere of that workplace. I refused to give in to the atmosphere of that place. So this woman right there on the floor of Simon's home, you can start playing band. She's crying at Jesus' feet. I get emotional with this story. She wipes the tears away with her hair. She kisses his feet and she pours all of the oil. You've got to think, this is this woman. It's probably her most valuable possession. And she pours it over Jesus' feet. And the fragrance fills the atmosphere. And it's contagious because every single person in that room can smell it. Everyone is affected by what she brings. This woman, she didn't care what others thought. She didn't care that she was in Simon's house. She didn't care that he was outraged that she was even there. She was not going to allow the atmosphere to stifle her moment with Jesus. Instead, she set the tone. She doesn't care what the atmosphere is dictating. She only cares about what she came to do. She came to change the atmosphere. And you know, you have the power to change the atmosphere. She wasn't a special woman. She was an average sinner woman. You and I, we're called to change the atmosphere. We're called to inspire others to smile, to love, to forgive, to refuse to give in to heaviness, and to bring God's love and light everywhere we go. We all get to choose the way in which we enter a room and what happens to the atmosphere in that room because we're there. Did you get that? We choose the way we enter a room and what happens to the atmosphere because we're there. You are an atmosphere changer. Can I get you to stand to your feet tonight? You are an atmosphere changer. Can you say that? I am an atmosphere changer. Don't wait for others to inspire you. You be the one who chooses to go out and inspire others. You be the encourager. You be the lover. You be the peacemaker, the generous one. Be enthusiastic. Be the kindness in the midst of gossip and slander. You choose. You have the power to change the atmosphere around you. It's time to break conformity. It's time to break being hold of things like everybody else. And I really felt as I was preparing that this is a word for someone tonight. You've been listening to the spirit of intimidation in your workplace. And it's time to stop conforming and it's time to start changing the atmosphere. This woman changed the atmosphere. Not Simon, whose house it was. He didn't change the atmosphere. He said, "You gave me no water." Jesus said to him, "You gave me no water. You didn't give me a kiss." The disciples didn't change the atmosphere. Not even Jesus himself changed the atmosphere. Some of you are waiting for God to change the atmosphere in your workplace, and it's up to you to make the change. It's time for you to change the atmosphere. And she did it by taking a posture of worship and putting Jesus in his right place. We're going to move into a time of worship. We're going to set an atmosphere of worship in the house tonight. And we're going to create an atmosphere in which the Holy Spirit is welcome to move. We're going to create an atmosphere in which Jesus is glorified. We're going to create an atmosphere where miracles are welcome to happen. This woman, just close your eyes for a minute. Just imagine this scene. Imagine the scene. She walks in. She brings all she has to Jesus. And in total abandonment, she worships before him. She gives her all to him. And in doing so, she changes the environment. That's what we're going to do tonight. Let's worship, team. Thank you, God.